Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony, and today I'm joined by two other people from our A Minute to Midnight team. We have Joni and we have Brooke. How are you both?
I'm doing pretty good myself. How about you, Brooke?
I'm doing great. It's good to be back with you, Tony and Joni.
It is. It's good. It's not that often we all get together and do this, so it's awesome. And I think we're going to largely be talking about a dream that Joni, that you had about a harvest and fishes without a suitable net to catch the harvest.
Yeah. I mean, I'm laughing, but it's not really funny. Yeah, I'll just jump right into it. I had this on the 23rd of this month, and here's how it went. I dreamed I was in a boat, a beautiful state-of-the-art fishing boat, like the best that fishermen can use. And it seemed like it was in the morning because it was just calm. Like, I grew up at the beach, so like when it's morning, everything is glassy and calm. So the sea was glassy. We were out in the deep water, or at least I was. I didn't see anybody else in the boat. And I was kneeling at the very back of the boat with my arms on the back of the boat. Like, I don't know why I was kneeling, but I was. And I was looking out of the back of the boat. And it was a calm day. Like, the weather was calm and the sea was calm and glassy. And I was just loving it, you know. And then I noticed that the ocean, surface of the ocean started to move. It started to churn a little bit. And almost right away, like, suddenly, as far as my eye can see, there was this huge fish boil. And it was like no other fish boil I have ever seen, because, I mean, I've seen it before, you know, like there's different schools of fish. Like, it's going to be either a tuna boil or it's going to be whatever, minnows or whatever it is, but they don't boil together. And I do know this. And I was looking out, and that was the one thing I saw that didn't make sense, because I saw every kind of fish in the sea. There was every single fish that I could see that I could possibly identify, and others I couldn't identify, but they were all intermixed thickly and as far as the eye can see, and they were jumping and just boiling, and then big fish were going through it, like coming up through the surface and then going back down into the water. And I knew even in my dream, I knew that this had to do with the harvest. And I thought, okay, I'm on a fishing boat. What do I do? How do you catch all these fish? And I looked around the boat. There was no fishing pole. And next to me was this little tin bucket. And I looked at the bucket and I looked at this boiling of fish of every kind. And I felt so grieved, because I thought, how ridiculous. I have this stupid tin bucket. How am I supposed to catch anything with it? And I threw it down and I felt so grieved. And I grieved, because I really knew that in my dream, the Lord was showing me that the harvest is truly what he says in his word, that it is truly great, but the laborers are few. And that's why we're supposed to pray the Lord of the harvest, because I even realized after I woke up, I was so taken by that dream. And the Lord, after a few days, like, he just kept over and over giving me little bit more and little bit more about that. And what the Lord showed me about that dream was there is the greatest harvest that is coming. Now, you know, it says in the book of Joel that there's a moderate rain, there's a former rain, and there's a moderate rain, and then there's a latter rain. Now, we know that according to Deuteronomy, Moses spoke, and that's the law, that there's supposed to be one last big, powerful rain before the harvest. So everything is full and perfect for cutting. There's the most beautiful time. So I thought, Lord, how do you catch those fish? There's like, even if you had a net, how do you catch these fish? Because you're not just catching one fish. And even if there was other people in the boat with me, how do you catch these fish? I also understood that it happened suddenly, but I also know that fish boils don't last forever. And that I was looking at something about time. There is the time that they come to the surface, you start and you harvest. And I know this because somebody in my life was a fisherman, and he would tell me, you fish and you, those fish fight to come out of that water. There's a fight for the fish, but you fish as long as they boil. So I was so grieved because the Lord really was showing me that I was like preparing in all these other ways in my life, you know, for the things that are coming on the earth, you know, that we're expecting, like the economic crash, you know, potential martial law, terrorist situations. These are real things. We have to prepare for these. But the Lord was showing me, yeah, that's, you're prepared for that. But the bucket was such an indictment to, I have a catch. And really, even on the boat, I thought later, I thought, even the boat wasn't enough. And even the best, because it was state of the art, like it had sounding devices on it. I mean, it was state of the art. But the Lord showed me that bucket and that boat, that's man's invention for fishing. This is a different harvest that is coming. It is going to necessitate that we do pray the Lord of the harvest. And that's a part that I got to, because as I kept getting to that point where I thought, okay, there was no equipment that could bring this hull up into the boat. And I was really, really praying about it. Like, okay, then what do we do? Like, you know, listen, the Lord has to make his word come alive to us. Okay. Now we've all been reading about the harvest and pray the Lord of the harvest, but he has to make that word come alive in its time. It's the living word. And I thought, you know, Lord, I've read that word all the time. Pray the Lord of the harvest. And I thought about the chapter, you know, at the end of the last chapter of the book of John. After Jesus had met with them the second time, the disciples were all alone. Peter said, I'm just going to go fishing. So they went with them and they fished all night long. And then they caught nothing. And in the morning, they saw the risen Lord. They saw Jesus on the shore. They didn't know it was him. And Jesus asked them if they had caught anything. And they said, no, we didn't catch anything. He said, okay, now throw your net over on the right side and you'll find. Well, see, in my dream, it was the morning. And here was all this fish. You know, there is that scripture that says, when Jesus was walking from Emmaus with Cleopas and his friend. Remember when they got to the house, Cleopas said to Jesus, abide with us. Because remember, Jesus was going to act like he went on, like he was just going to keep going. And they said, abide with us, for the day is far spent and the night is at hand. But when you read Romans 13, Paul says, for the night is far spent and the day is at hand. So the Lord is showing me very clearly. I absolutely know this. He showed me. I am so interested in this harvest, but that bucket and the human invention is not going to do it. God is going to do a supernatural work through all of his people. I believe that with all of my heart. And he wanted me to grieve because he wanted me to feel what his heart felt. Not that God's ashamed. I think that shame that maybe he would feel of us is more of a pity shame. Like, he wants us to be partakers. We are fishermen, right? I mean, even here on A Minute to Midnight, that's what we do. We're here together. We're praying. We're seeking the Lord. We want to know exactly what our chief shepherd wants us to do. And so he is speaking to us. So God wants us to have, see, this thing happened suddenly, but there was a moment of time where everything was calm and peaceful. And I was enjoying that calm and peacefulness. I wasn't thinking about fishing. I was thinking about myself, about how I was enjoying how peaceful the weather was. And I was on this great, beautiful boat. And the shame of it came later when I realized I used that precious time for myself. So I was very convicted. I had to repent. I said, Lord, I admit it. I'm thinking more of how I'm going to spare my own family, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to prepare. And I sobbed. I was so upset. I'm still I can still feel that, but that's what made me press into Christ and say, you know what? There, it's like he was showing me the world. Look at it. It is so ripe to harvest. And so, Brooke, I'm going to turn this over to you because remember we were talking to you. I was talking to you about, you know, maybe we watched a video and we were talking about the Great Commission.
Yeah.
About how are we going to do it?
Say first what we also spoke about real quick so you don't forget, because I think this part is really important. How not only didn't you have the net and even any net known, you said, to mankind wouldn't have been enough. But it was important because you also said you were alone. Okay, that's big to remember this. You were alone. So how are you going to bring in, you wouldn't have been able to cast out, hoist that net on your own, much less pull it in, okay, with that great amount of every species. But remember yesterday I also brought in how you said the time. You had a limited time because that boil was only going to last the limited time. So I think that also comes into this as far as, you know, how you were looking at it with not the right equipment, but also in yourself, you couldn't do it. And time is of the essence. That's big.
I just want to let people know that if you're listening to this and you want to see the dream that we're talking about, there is an article on the A Minute to Midnight website that features this dream and the interpretation. Brooke, can you remember the title of the article?
Yes. It's Prophetic Dream, The Fisherman Without a Net, The Harvest is Ripe, Are You Equipped?
That's right. Yeah. So people
and
can
read it.
And
we also have it on our group page, as well as website, under prophecy, under the website. If you hit the prophecy tab, it'll be up there.
You know, you're right about that. You know, and you know, when you brought up the net, you know, and like, let's just say I did have a net. And let's say I did have fishing poles. And there were people. God is trying to show us this is nothing we can do by ourselves.
That's right.
Okay, right? We don't have, this is going to take power and authority. And Brooke, that scripture you gave to me this morning from Matthew.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not an individual thing.
Yeah,
it's because not, it's a group. The Great Commission, even though the Bible, let's get this straight real quick, because I know how some are, you know, it's not written out, the Great Commission, right? It's entitled mm-hmm. that, and men have come in and put in these subtitles before things, biblically. But that is what a commission is, kind of like the rapture thing. You know, rapture is not necessarily in the word, but what is a rapture? It's a taking up. So just like that, just because the words Jesus isn't saying, okay, this is the Great Commission I am commanding you. It's understood it's a Great Commission, but it's not an individual effort. It is a group effort for the entire body. But he also showed you how I want to explain this. You are alone. You couldn't do it alone, but you're to take action within yourself alone. You have to take action to do this. It is a choice, and it is your choice individually. But we have to be a collective group in order to go out and do this. Not one person can do this on their own. It's too great. It's too great. We've been focusing so much, Tony, in 3 years on preparing, like Joni says, talking about food and water and places maybe of refuge. We've never mentioned the harvest.
True. I mean, like,
this
I think,
huge.
Yeah, it is. I think the preparedness thing, you know, physical preparedness is important because obviously
yeah.
when there's an economic collapse and all these things, somebody is going to have the resources to feed people and survive
That's
financially
right.
and that, which I think is really important so that people are in a position. And if people are in a position to, you know, accumulate precious metals, now is the time to do it before it's too late, because they're going to be the people that can actually fund the harvest, because let's face it, you still have to have resources. So
yeah.
But the point is, isn't it? That shouldn't be the actual focus. That's not. That's right. The means to the end. That's not the end in itself. The end in itself is souls and salvation.
What are we doing right now while this harvest is ripe and ready? What are we doing?
You know, also, too, you know, whatever our King finds important enough to show us, that's important to him. And it has to become important to us. Now, I'm not here to speak a word against the body of Christ. We love the body of Christ. We want the church. Jesus wants his church to be saved. Mm-hmm. He wants everybody to be prepared. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody's going to be prepared a little different, as Tony was saying. Not everybody. There's going to be a lot of poor people out there who can't buy silver and gold. There's people that write to me all the time. They're like, what do I do? I'm a single mother. I am broke. I have three kids. I try to save food, but then we run out of money and we eat it. You know what I'm a firm believer of? We haven't seen anything yet. You know what? God is always going to match. He's unrivaled.
Yeah.
He's always going to match whatever is needed. And so, you know, it's proper to prepare and to have that faith. And I'll tell you something. He's not going to let us down. If we don't have food, if she doesn't have food, somebody doesn't have food, God's going to make sure that person is going to eat, because it says he opens up his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. And something else I wanted to share with you. In the middle of the night last night, I got up at 2:30. I was praying, okay? And in my mind was thinking of that great harvest. I could see it, and I could just see this harvest of everything, just the ripest, healthiest fish. And then, you know, I said to the Lord, I said, the harvest is so great. It's beyond what I could have even imagined. And then he told me this. I heard it word for word. He said, Satan has a great harvest too.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, he's going to be keeping up with my harvest.
Mm.
He has a great harvest. So what that told me was we are going to see hell break loose on this earth, because he understands. He sees things in the spirit. Not doesn't know everything, but he sees us in the spirit. He's a spirit. So he sees things setting up. Okay. Now we have an advantage that those of us who do get dreams and visions or a word of knowledge, it's for us to employ the power from heaven for these souls. And how does he do it? He says it right here. And Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So what has he taught us? You know, whether you're young in the faith or you're old in the faith, you're taught first off to trust the Lord. And, you know, people are like, you know, he does miracles. He does things here and there. We see him work. We haven't seen anything yet. The Lord showed me that when things are not available for us, you know, what does it say? When Satan comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. God wants us to be a mighty people. And so this great commission, you know, we have our churches. It's wonderful. We do. It does good. You go to church. You fellowship. You worship. That's intact. But what's happening is God gave me this vision of this amazing harvest that he wants saved. He's not willing that any of them perish. So this great commission, remember, he says, you know, even in Isaiah, he says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God. For why, and be ye saved, for I am God, for why should you perish? See, it's a looking to God. It's not a working yourself up to a froth and perfect church attendance. I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit, he is given to us. He said, all you do is ask for the Holy Spirit without limit. Now we have a harvest, and everybody that is, wherever you live, I don't care if you live in continental America or New Zealand, or Africa, or the Antarctic. The Lord God knows who's his. There's people he's going to save, and he's going to use whoever's listening, he's going to use you. And that's what he wants you to know today. And he's going to, you know, he said that all power is going to given to you. He says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Okay, so he's not going to send you without power. Now, so we can have like the state-of-the-art boat. We can be everything perfect, but it's not going to save all those fish. Okay, remember when back to the book of John, that last chapter, it said they dragged that net in, and not just them. It said that there was other little boats around them that just so happened to be there, and they were dragging in the catch. But remember, it said this time their net did not break. So there's a net that we have to ask him for. That is what that word means. That we have to ask him, Lord, we ask that you give us a net that doesn't break. We want supernatural acts of your power to work through each of us. And we're not going to settle for saying how sad. Because you know something? It says, for Christ has not entered into heaven, into holy places made without hands, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. We are raised and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's a reason. God wants to see us already there. He doesn't want us to love our lives more than we love their life.
And no, can I just add something there that just really comes strongly to me right now is, you know, as much as a minute to midnight, we've sort of been on the, you need to be prepared physically and, you know, the gold and silver and the food and et cetera. And whilst I believe totally that's really important, those people that are putting their faith in that, however, are going to find if their heart is not in the right place, it is not going to save them. They're going to lose it all, and a lot of them will lose their lives because instead of putting God first and putting other people's needs first, they've only thought for themselves. It'll be like that rich man who built his barns and said, I'll build bigger barns now, soul, I can rest and relax. And Jesus, he said, this very night your soul will be required of you. And I want to just warn people that are trusting in their preparations to just look after themselves and bunker themselves down. I'm telling you now, you will not survive. Unless God is first and foremost in your lives and you're putting other people's needs and harvest in your forethought, all your preparation will be a waste of time and it will be lost. However, those that have prepared with Christ in mind and with the harvest in mind, God will multiply those preparations.
Amen. And he'll do it. And, you know, I'll tell you, God has just been waiting. You know, he has been waiting. See, you know, I was thinking about, I was telling Brooke this morning, remember in Exodus 32, the golden calf, remember that?
Yeah.
Moses is up in Mount Sinai. They're like, he's not coming back, right? So he's kind of like a type and shadow Jesus, right? And so what do? They make the golden calf. And they're worshiping it. And so God says to Moses, he said, what is that sound that I hear? It's not the sound of revelry, of worship, and neither of war. He said, get down there right now. And so he goes down there, and of course he sees everybody naked. They're worshiping the calf. And what does he do? He runs through the camp and goes to the very entrance of the camp, and he says, whosoever is on the Lord's side, let him come over here. And so we know that the Levites, the only ones that went there were the Levites. That's why I believe they were chosen to be the priesthood, because of that. See, a moment is going to have to come, Tony, what you said. A moment is going to have to come where they're going to have to make up their mind. They're going to have to choose. Because you know why? Their circumstances are going to force them to choose. There's going to be a choice you're going to have to make. And let me tell you, what's coming upon this earth, you know, we're hearing all the prophecies. I'm having dreams. I'm reading everybody else's stuff. And you know why the Lord's doing it? He's pouring it out because he's good. Because God warns, love warns. I'm a fighter. I've been a fighter for 40 years. And you know what? He shaped me in that war. He shapes us in our trials so we hear his voice. And so we can obey. And you know, think about what the Holy Spirit does. Think about what it says in Acts 5:32. The disciples said, the apostles said, for we are his witnesses. And so was the Holy Spirit also, who was given unto them that obey him. Okay, so you can be saved. And you're marked with the earnest of the Holy Spirit. You're fine. You're going to go to heaven. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, I don't care if you're 10 years old and you go all the way up and you're 100 years old. You know what? When you trust the Holy Spirit, when everything is collapsing around you, because it is going to collapse, you're going to see that those who have understanding are going to instruct many. And that understanding is a spirit of understanding. We're going to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right? Because it says it in James 5, 7. It says, be ye therefore patient, O brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. For the husbandman has great patience for the fruit of the earth, you know, because he waits for the latter harvest, the latter rain. Well, that rain is like, it's from heaven. You know, Elijah had power to shut up the heaven for 3.5 years and then pray again and it opened up for 3.5 years. God is speaking to not just people who, and this is not, I don't want to offend anybody by saying this, because there's a reason that people go to seminary. There's a reason why people, you know, they have their calling. But let me tell you, this is going to be where the Lord is going to show who he is through the most common people filled with power right where they're at. That is the net. We are the net.
That's interesting. I think, you know, you look at the Pharisees and the religious ones in the New Testament, a lot of them were the ones that actually sided with the Romans, and they crucified Jesus, and they, you know, they didn't want to know truth because they had their religion. And I think there'll be a lot of churches that'll go by the way as well. They'll follow the system, follow the world, and they won't be following Christ. And so there's going to become a separation of the true believers and those that aren't. So, I mean, people need to make sure they're in the right church if they're in a church to be part of the harvest. Brooke, you were given Joni's dream, you know, to put out as an article and edit it, and you came to a certain point in it where you were thinking, there's just something missing here, and you just couldn't get past it, and you had to contact Joni and basically say that. So can you just relay what was happening there, Brooke?
Yeah, well, she kind of brought this up already, but it was the part where she was writing about how she only had this little small tin bucket. And, you know, she was on this beautiful, shiny boat that should have had everything available to her. She didn't even have a fishing pole. And she was so sad because she wanted part of that, you know, part of that harvest, take it in, and she couldn't. But then she goes on to say, well, but then I realized that it didn't matter, even if I had a net, even if God and mankind created this kind of net to use. That's what we were saying earlier.
Yeah.
I was alone, and I couldn't have done it by myself, but it was kind of left at that. Now, right now, it's complete. But before it was complete, you see, I was just looking at it at that. So there was no answer to how. It was just kind of left because God didn't give her the how in that dream. He didn't give her the how, not right away. Not right away. So when it was written, and of course, in editing and proofreading, you know, I read over this 1,000 times in 2 and 3 days. So, but it's great. I love it because I don't forget all these dreams that I edit or any articles. It's great for me because I'm going over it and over it and over it and over it and over the word and over what's said. It just doesn't fall away from memory that easy. You know, if I would read it one time like a lot of people do and just think, wow, that was great. Within a few days, a few hours, they're going to forget most of this. You know, I don't.
Yeah.
So I kept looking at that. But I didn't contact her right away. And within an hour before I sent it off to you, she actually contacted me and was like, hey, I have something to add to this. And it was the how. And I was like, awesome, because I have been looking at this section for 3 days, like Joni, who has just left, we were just going to leave the readers kind of the same way I felt. I know it. Like, I know there would have been people, maybe some wouldn't have caught that, but a lot would have been kind of left with, okay, well, how do we do this? So, like last night, going back to this great commission, first of all, I was telling Joni, you know, thinking about it, I made a few notes. Like earlier we said, it's not individual. It's a group effort. Okay, but some great things about this is, you know, disciples aren't just followers. We're teachers. The main focus on the Great Commission isn't to go. It's to make disciples. And this, I also was telling Joni, so many people, when you read it, because I know I've done it before in the past, when I was younger Christian, you know, go ye into all the world and make disciples. And I'm focusing on, because I've been on the missionary field and been to Russia and South America, and I recommend it to anyone who has the chance to do it. It's amazing. But we have to start in our own community. If you cannot speak out for God to your neighbors and in your own community, you have no business going to another country doing it. If you're so fearful of what your friends and neighbors and those who know you will say of you, shame on you. Also, when you look at this, this went the same for what Jesus told his own disciples, okay? Because, first of all, they prepared for 3 years for this, you know? 3 years preparing the principles of faith to be able to take this out. Okay, so it takes preparation. You can't just rise up one day and, okay, I'm going to go out. Okay, go out and do what? What are you standing on? Okay, what are you standing on? You're going to fail. But he told them, if you give me a second to find this, to start in Jerusalem, and then they were to work their way out. So they had to also start in their own communities. And they weren't ashamed. They weren't ashamed to do it. But they were prepared to do this. In Luke 24:49, he told them to stay in the city until they were clothed with power from on high. You know, stay. But wait and not leave, Acts 1:8, wait and not leave Jerusalem for what the Father has promised, which was the baptism of what? The Holy Spirit. Okay, we also see in John 20:20-23, they started where they were at, and then they worked their way out. That's really important, because so many of us, me included, there is some fear, you know, involved with that. But you've got to get over it. You've got to get over it and say, I'm going to do what he commands us to do. He's not asking us to do. It's a command. This is a command. And that's when Joni, when she called to speak, to add the how, I'm going to let her explain how she got this how, because it's going to come better from her, really spoke volumes and about what we are to be doing and about what in my own life I haven't been doing and what I haven't seen others doing. Yes, we meet in small groups and we might visit or have little Bible studies or whatever, but the big how is so much bigger than that. Yes. So I'll let her more explain what the Lord showed her in this how, because he got it in that article before it was sent to you and let out. And I know there's a reason for that, you know. So, Joni, if you want to take over.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I always like to point to the word, because the word is power. We don't have power outside of it. You know, when you were quoting Acts 1:8, where the Lord says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, right? You just said that you'll be my witnesses starting in Jerusalem and Judea and so forth unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So he sees the whole picture in a nutshell right then, right? So when Jesus, I love it what it says in Mark. It says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming his word with signs following. There hasn't been any signs. Okay. So what signs does he talk about? You know, we do experience as people a new birth. We come into the faith. But we're talking about something entirely different. We're going to stay on track here about the great harvest. Okay. Now, right before a harvest, right before he throws the sickle in, he prepares the fruit. Okay. So he wants it to be fat and flourishing. I've been praying about the church, you know, about Lord, your church is weak. Your church needs help. Your church. I've been praying about the church, the body of Christ. He loves his own body. Okay. But there needs to be that commission. But, you know, it's always kind of been like we've always, like she was saying, we've known the commission. We know the commission. Go ye forth, therefore, making disciples out of all nations, teaching them, so on. But a friend of mine sent me a video. And he's a great guy. Love him. His name is Skip. Great apologist. I trust the guy. He sent me this video. It was a fluke. I had been asking the Lord, how, Lord? Well, it was very important. And it was a return to the life in the book of Acts. You know, and I know there's probably some of you that are listening out there going, yeah, well, we've all tried that. That's not what I'm talking about. God is moving right now. He wants us to get back to those basics. You know, the Holy Spirit entered into a prayer meeting. Peter stood up. He was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, to the kingdom of the, you know, to open up the door to the church, and then eventually the door to the Gentiles. But you know what? Look at how they went. Look, they went from here. They went there. They listened to the Holy Spirit. Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas. You know, sometimes they wanted to go here, but they weren't allowed to go into Asia. There was things, the Holy Spirit, he was active because nobody had a personal plan. So people were involved, like your common people. And think about it. The people back then, they were pretty much like us. You know, aside from technology, it was an agrarian society. There was little women baking loaves of bread and the husband out planting whatever he was planting. And that's all they knew. But their hearts were on fire. So what we have is we have a ton of knowledge, right? But what we have done is we have systematically, with our own knowledge, we've been eating not of the fruit of the tree of life, but we've been eating of the tree of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Mm-hmm. And what has happened is because of all this crazy charismania that came in, which was really brilliant, I'm not trying to give Satan kudos, but it was brilliant on his behalf, because what you have is you have decades of people that are scared to death. And the Lord said this to me. I heard him say this to me this morning. He said, the reason why people are afraid to do what they're doing in Acts is because this generation has been so deceived so many times, tricked so many times, embarrassed so many times, let down so many times, and wounded. And so what they've done is they have systematically, with their own hands, built a wall within themselves, and it imprisons the Holy Spirit. He can't get out. And so they just keep it safe. And all the while, they're missing out on the power of the living God. So what God wants everybody to do, here's what he said. He said, I'm just going to say it to everybody listening. God knows about everything that you've been through with all that crazy stuff, how you put your trust in it and in certain people and certain ministries. See, Satan wants to shame you for that, but Jesus says there's no shame in that. That was for your wisdom. It's not meant to chain you up and bar you. See, Satan is using that to keep you from going forward and receiving that limitless supply of the Holy Spirit, because he's accusing you, saying you don't want to get involved with that. You don't want to do that. Well, think why he's saying that to you. He's terrified of you actually believing. You know, the Lord said
he that believes in me. He said, he's going to do greater works. Our belief in God, remember, I always say, God's not asking us to accept him. It doesn't say he that accepts me will be my disciple. He that accepts me will be my son. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wants you to believe. And when you believe, you're going to make Satan and all that kingdom, you're going to cause a revolution. And so this harvest, he wants everybody to start tearing down those old walls built by the enemy with your own hand. And I know everybody, I heard it with my own ears because I got hurt from it too. But now is not the time. See, the greatest threat to the enemy is that you are going to believe the Lord just like you're believing what happened in the book of Acts. This is the living word. He wants you to live it out. This is Satan's worst nightmare. Because when you, I don't care who you are, how old you are, the Lord wants you to go out. He wants you to start talking about him wherever you're at. He wants you to lay hands on the sick. He said, these signs will follow them that believe me, not those that accept me. Anybody can accept Christ. Unbelievers accept Christ. They accept, yeah, Jesus Christ, I heard about him. He's God. That's what people say. But it's different when you believe.
I think there's a difference between believing in and believing on. You can believe in Jesus. You can believe in God. But believing on him to actually do those things is a whole other level. So we've got like 3 or 4 minutes left to finish this out.
Let me interject something real quick, Tony, because this morning we brought this up. I think it's real important. It's quick. It's not long. But when me and Joni were speaking, just think about this. Think about if we went out and became just like the apostles were in the book of Acts. Okay? No fear. Fear set aside, because I told her for years now, I will see someone like in a wheelchair or something, and I immediately want to just go up to them, put my hand and say, get up and walk in the name of Jesus. I am not talking about a 30-minute prayer. I am talking about boom, bam, get up. Now, listen, this is important too to say. Did Jesus go around saying, like we said this morning, have you been to temple before I heal you?
No.
You know? No, we're to go out and not, are you saved first? Do you know Jesus Christ? No, you know why? Because if you rise up and do what his word tells you to do, lay hands on the sick, this, that, the other, baptize, I promise you, word will get around. And can you imagine what goes on from there if you just step out and take action in faith and do what he says to do? Because then salvation will come. Then it will come and they will spread the word and it will be just a ripple effect, just like in the Bible. But we don't do that. Why we don't do that? Because what if it doesn't work? Mm. What if they don't get healed? Then what do we do? So what? Do it until it's done. Do it. Don't stop. Keep doing it, because then there's something inside of you. Okay, there's some doubt left. But I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going. Because once you got it, guess what? It's not going to stop. You know, you're there. You're there. I mean, I've had a miracle happen with my child. We haven't gotten into
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, we're going to do that about. On another show. We're definitely going to do that. Yes.
But it's just to say, we've got to realize, we can't be thinking, oh, I wonder if they're saved. I can't go pray for them if they're not. They can't be healed if they're not. A lot of people have that mentality. There's this intellectualism about all of it, and the Holy Spirit mainly has been left out. The Holy Spirit has been left out. We've got to get back to him.
Great. Awesome words, Brooke. So do you want to close this out, Joni, maybe with a final thought and even a prayer?
Yeah, you know, when she's talking about Jesus, you know, we love Jesus so much. He was magnetic when he was on earth. Everybody followed him. They were willing to go without food and not even eat for 3 days. Why? Because of the power of his love. And it's that power. It's a power that he gives us to love those that are unlovable. See, it's easy to love those at church. But I'll tell you, there is power when you go to, look at what he did. Nobody was saved. How could they be saved? He was still on earth.
Yeah.
But look at the joy. Look at the joy of everybody. You know why? They wanted him because he loved them. Because there was that power of his love. That is what led them to him. And, you know, I think of that word. It says, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It's his world. He wants us to go into all the earth. And if we can't get there, then you pray from this side. There's no distance in heaven. But I'll tell you something. I know this because the Lord showed me that he's going to start dealing with. He showed this to me this morning. He wants everybody to know that he's going to start paying personal visits to you. Now, I'm not saying he's going to appear to you in an image, but he's going to start convicting you. He's going to start working in your heart and your mind because he wants you to be willing to be part of this. He's not going to drag you into it. He's going to give you a choice, just like he appeared to me in my dream, just like he's been appearing to many others that I know that have told me, because he wants you to be a willing participant. And once you say yes to him, he's going to lock you into that. And there's only going to be a short window of time that he's going to be asking people for this to be joining this harvest. But once you do, there's going to be a power that's going to come into every one of his workers. And we are going to form that net.
So now, do you just want to close it out with a prayer?
Yeah, of course. Be happy to, of course. Lord Jesus, we come before you today and we're just so excited, Lord, that you gave us this dream and that we could even be discussing it and that so many people can be partakers of hearing that, Lord, that you do have a great and final harvest coming and it's real and your word is real and you keep your word, you keep your promises and you love everybody from the least to the greatest. There is no one that has a more profound impact on you more than anyone else. You want everybody to be a participant of the harvest. And so, Lord, we just ask that as everybody listens to this message, that you will penetrate their hearts with this message, that you will begin to move upon them by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you begin to release them, Lord, from fear and the walls that they have built up in their hearts, Lord, imprisoning their own selves. Lord, that they would begin to have a childlike faith full of power and great energy and newness of life. And we speak these words over to everybody that is listening. And we just ask you, Lord Jesus, to just let them run and to run like men, a burst for war. Let them be valiant for your truth in the last days and let them be filled with the power from on high so that, Lord, that they will be a mighty man of valor, women and men, Lord, who are clothed in royal robes of your righteousness. We thank you for this day. We ask you to bless us now, continue to bless the listeners. And we go forth in your name, Lord, and we'll declare it, that you are good and your righteousness endures forever. In your precious name, we give you thanks.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. This has been great. Thanks for coming on today to the Minute to Midnight show, to other great members of our team, Brooke and Joni. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Well, thanks for listening, folks. You can find that dream that we were talking about today on the A Minute to Midnight website. Please visit the A Minute to Midnight website for that and other articles, and also our videos and interviews are all posted on there and it's updated regularly. Also, you'll find on there a donation button. We really appreciate those that help because this work does take a lot of time and effort, and the donations greatly help us to keep this whole thing running. So thanks to those that do help out. Also, you can help A Minute to Midnight out directly by downloading production royalty free music or sound effects from rockshoresounds.com, and you'll find a link to that also on the aminutetomidnight.com website. We have a Minute to Midnight Facebook group, which you're welcome to join and contribute to as well. So that's it for this episode of A Minute to Midnight, and this is Tony saying goodbye until next time.